talk, listen to the Imam, he's still doing something wrong. And the hadith is authentic. Hadith number 364 in page 162 from جابر رضي الله تعالى عنه قال دخل رجل يوم الجمعة والنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يخطب فقال صليت قال لا قال قم فصلي ركعتين. Okay, this hadith number 364 reported by جابر. The hadith in the collection of Imam al-Bukhari as well Imam Muslim rahmatullah alayhima. So the hadith in the highest degree of authenticity, and that narrating that while the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was delivering his khutbah in Yawm al-Jum'ah, a man came in. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him or asked him, questioned him, did you perform prayer? He said no. He said, get up and pray two rak'at. Okay? So this teaches us about the manner and the discipline, the behavior of a Muslim who follows the sunnah, not the madhab, who follows the authentic sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he put the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam before the statement of the school of thought. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he ordered the man, he questioned him first, did you pray? And the man sees the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam giving the khutbah. He said no. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he asked him to get up and make two rak'at while he was still giving the khutbah. So any time you enter while the Imam giving the khutbah or before the khutbah, you still, you should do what? Two rak'at before he sits down. Hadith number 365 from Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma. That mean, may Allah be pleased with him and his father, Abdullah and his father. Okay. كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يقرأ في صلاة الجمعة سورة الجمعة والمنافقين. رواه مسلم. The hadith in the collection of Imam Muslim, so the hadith is authentic. And also Ibn Abbas reporting to us about what he observed, what he heard. Okay, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to recite in Yawm al-Jum'ah, because the recitation in Salat al-Jum'ah is out loud. Okay, so the worshipper, the believer, they will hear the Imam. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to recite what? Surat al-Jum'ah and Surat what? Al-Munafiqeen. Surah 62 and Surah number 63, if I'm not mistaken. Okay? No, I am mistaken. Is it? Yes. Is it? Yes, Surah Al-Jum'ah, yes. Surah Al-Jum'ah Al-Munafiqeen. This is Surah number 62 and Surah number 63. And this also doesn't mean that the Prophet ﷺ always reads this, but he did it sometimes. So each Sahabi, he reporting what he heard from the Prophet ﷺ. وَلَهُ عَنِ النُّعْمَانِ إِبْنِ بَشِيرٍ كَانَ يَقْرَأْ فِي الْعِيدَيْنِ وَفِي الْجُمْعَةِ بِسَبِّحِ اسْمَ رَبِّكَ الْأَعْلَى وَهَلْ أَتَاكَ حَدِيثُ الْغَاشِيَةِ. Okay, here in Nu'man Ibn Bashir, may Allah be pleased with him, reporting in this authentic hadith that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to recite, glorify the name of your Lord the Most High, and this the news of the calamity came to you, Surah Al-A'la and Surah Al-Ghashiyah, which is Surah number 88 and Surah number 87. Okay, this is also shows you a different narration what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to say during Jum'ah in Salatul Jum'ah, and all this narration alhamdulillah is authentic. Hadith number 366 in page 163 reported by Zayd ibn Arqam, we're going to leave it alone because the hadith is weak. Okay? Hadith number 367 from Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا صلى أحدكم الجمعة فليصلي بعدها أربعة. Okay, the hadith in the collection of Imam Muslim. So the hadith is authentic, reported by Abu Huraira. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم saying, what the meaning is, when one of you prays the Jum'ah prayer, he should pray four optional rak'at. Okay, because as we understand that all salah, other the five time prayers, subh, zuhr, asr, maghrib and isha, are optional prayer. But this is the salah is recommended. And we're going to see other narration that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to make two, and sometimes when he go home he make four, or he make two in the masjid, two in the house. So all these things, inshallah, is correct, and all of them is been narrated from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Each sahabi had reported what he saw. Some they saw in the masjid, and as his wife, she saw him in the house. So each person reported about what they observed from him. But this hadith that we have with us, that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said for you to pray four raka'at after Salat al-Jum'ah. And for sure, that is obvious, that means two raka'at, taslim out, two raka'at, taslim out. Next hadith, which hadith number 368, وعن السائب ابن يزيد, أن معاوية رضي الله تعالى عنه قال له, إذا صليت الجمعة, فلا تصلها بصلاة, فلا تصلها بصلاة, حتى تتكلم أو تخرج. فإن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أمرنا بذلك أن لا نوصل صلاة بصلاة حتى نتكلم أو نخرج. رواه مسلم. The hadith is in the collection of Imam Muslim, brother Rafiq. Okay, so the hadith is authentic, no doubt about it. Okay, reported by who? By Sa'ib ibn Yazid from Muawiyah radiallahu an, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, إذا صليت الجمعة, when you perform the Jum'ah prayer, don't connect it with other salah until you do what? That you talk, or you go out, or moving from your spot, whatever. Okay, not to be connected the prayer together. Okay, like you may give your brother salam, ask the person how he's doing, or whatever it is, that to be is some kind of talk, or you step outside, so not to be observed as if you connected Jum'ah with other prayer, because this is the way that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam had commanded them. In page 164, hadith number 369 from Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من اغتسل ثم أتى الجمعة فصلى ما قدر له ثم أنصت حتى يفرغ الإمام من خطبته ثم يصلي معه غفر له ما بينه وبين الجمعة الأخرى وفضل ثلاثة أيام. And this is one of the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala given it especially for those who go to attend Jum'ah. And I could not see how Muslims can hear hadith like this, and after this they be busy with their school or their business or whatever they doing. It's so great reward for a person coming to Jum'ah and preparing himself for Jum'ah. Roshufin, Hamza, Abdul Mu'izz, قولهم يجوا هنا. So great reward for the Jum'ah, and how we're supposed to prepare for the Jum'ah so we can get this reward. It takes a preparation before and during. Okay? Number one, Whosoever wash, that means take a ghusl, a full ghusl, shower. And after this he come to Jum'ah, and after this number three to do what? He will pray optional prayer. And number four, that he will be quiet and listen carefully to the imam when he delivers the khutbah. And number five, that he will pray with the imam, the Jum'ah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make this a means of expiation, a means of forgiveness for whatever happened between the past Jum'ah and this Jum'ah, an additional and credit 3 days. Okay? Subhanallah. You see? But we have to take this is one baggage deal. Okay? People being understand, breaking for lunch, playing basketball, and after this they don't enter until the imam or they hear the adhan. You're already sweating. You see? Yusuf, what do you think? You're coming for the congregation among the Muslims. You're supposed to prepare yourself, remove the sweating, having perfume, have clean clothes, all these things. You're coming for Jum'ah. You're coming for interview. You're going to come and the angel's going to write your name when you enter the door. You're going to be in the midst of the angels and the believers. You see? So here Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, اغتسل ثم أتى الجمعة. He washed, he came to Jum'ah, and he performed optional prayer, at least the 2 rak'at when you enter the masjid. And after this, he will listen carefully to the imam, and after this, he will perform the 2 rak'at with the imam. Now, this will be what? Forgiveness for him for all things that happened in the last Jum'ah. Everything happened last week will be forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, plus what? 3 days credit for you. So I could not see how we can let this reward go. May Allah forgive us all. Hadith number 370, that mean Abu Huraira, the same reporter, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam dhakara yawm al-jum'ah faqal فيه ساعة لا يوافقها عبد مسلم وهو قائم يصلي يسأل الله عز وجل شيئا إلا أعطاه إياه وأشار بيده يقللها. متفق عليه. Okay. This hadith which reported by Abu Huraira that Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم telling us about one of the virtues of Jum'ah, one of the speciality of Jum'ah, something special about Jum'ah, that there is an hour in it. Any Muslim, and when you say hour, does not have to be 60 minutes, okay? An hour, that means there is a time during this day of Jum'ah. The day of Jum'ah, then there is a time in Friday at which no Muslim will stand up while praying and beg Allah, who is great and gracious, for something, but he would give it to him. And he, the Prophet ﷺ, point with his hand that it is, this time is short, very little. Okay, there is an hour during this day of Jum'ah. If you standing up, making prayer, calling in Allah, okay, active in prayer, does not have to be prayer standing up, making salah. That means you're indulging in the zikr of Allah, reciting the Quran, sitting in the masjid, involved in ibadah of Allah, calling in Allah, asking Allah, oh Allah, give me this or give me that, except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant it. And this comes every week. Every week. And you can see how millions of Muslims, they have ignored these virtues. Okay? And the scholars, they have a lot of discussions and a lot of opinions about when is this time during Jum'ah. And if anybody have something very urgent and really really needed, you will sit from Fajr to sunset, try to catch this hour. If it's something very very urgent, you want to get it, or what it takes, what, 12 hours, 14 hours, you could not lock up yourself in the masjid with the Quran or making salah, making dua, at least for 1 week. How many Muslims understand, they go fill in application, be running behind a job for days and weeks and months, and waiting in a line. Or what, we have to take you someplace, I'm not going to mention the country, and see the hundreds of Muslims standing on their own feet for hours and hours, day after day, in front of the American embassy because they want to get a visa, and pay dollars and dollars and hundreds of dollars, and they repeat it again tomorrow, and they leave early in the morning, so 2 hours before the window open, they want to be there in very crowded place so they can submit, leave it, khali. So they can get to the window to submit their application. And we can stand before Allah, we could not make this at least once in a month or in a year, that we have something very important. Subhanallah. Hadith number 371, page 165. Reported by أبي بردة رضي الله تعالى عن أبيه قال سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم هي ما بين أن يجلس الإمام إلى أن تنقضي الصلاة رواه مسلم. Okay, the hadith is authentic, reported by Muslim. ورجح الدارقطني أنه من قول أبي بردة. Okay, Allahu A'lam. That Abu Burda, he said, I heard the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying that this hour or this time is between the time when the Imam sits down and the end of the prayer. Okay, this is one of the saying, when is the hour. وفي حديث عبد الله ابن سلام عند ابن ماجة وجابر عند أبي داود والنسائي أنها ما بين صلاة العصر إلى غروب الشمس. Okay, other narration is saying that this hour or this time that Allah will guarantee your supplication if you join it during Jum'ah, he said that is between the prayer of Asr and the sunset. More than 40 different sayings were narrated about this special detail, or this special hour, this special fortune hour or fortune time on Friday, which I had detail them in my book Sharh al-Bukhari. This is the explanator. مين اللي قال كده؟ ابن حجر ولا ابن صنعاني؟ ذا الشيخ يا حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل. يعني ضعيفة؟ بطلنا ندرس المسلمين. حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل. حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل. The most authentic among all this is that the hour which is between Asr and sunset. As I said, that Imam Hajar, Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani, who explained Sahih al-Bukhari, he had mentioned about 40 different saying about it, and the most authentic opinion among all this, and Allah knows best, is that the time between Asr and sunset. But as I said, if somebody have something urgent, he will sit from Fajr until Maghrib, making sure for his supplication to be accepted inshallah. And Allah knows best. Next one, which hadith number 372 concerning madat as-sunnah anna fi kulli 40 fasa'idan jum'a, the isnad of it is da'if, and some of the schools said you could not make the jum'a congregation without 40, as their evidence that because when the Rasulullah ﷺ made the jum'a was 40 people there, but this is not evidence. And some they said, all what you need 12 people to make the Jum'ah congregation. And they said because the hadith that we mentioned, when the caravan came and some of the Sahaba, they ran to the caravan, the only people left there was 12. But this is not also in the subject. So it's not anything from the Prophet ﷺ to say that it have to be 10 or 50 or 100. Okay, so whosoever there comes in the masjid, the imam leads them in Jum'ah, and the number doesn't constitute the acceptance of Jum'ah or no, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. So hadith number 372 is weak. Hadith number 373 is weak. Hadith number 372 is weak. Hadith number 373 is weak. That Rasulullah he used to ask forgiveness or seek forgiveness للمؤمنين والمؤمنات في كل جمعة. Okay. Next hadith, hadith number 374, page 166. Hadith number 374. وعن جابر ابن سمرة رضي الله تعالى عنه أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كان في الخطبة يقرأ آيات من القرآن يذكر الناس. رواه أبو داود وأصله في مسلم. الحديث إن شاء الله. Maybe I think this is what I have to use for every hadith, even if it's متفق عليه. I'll say إن شاء الله authentic. لله وإنا إليه راجعون. الجهل يعمل أكثر من كده. That the hadith is inshallah authentic in the collection of Imam Abu Dawood, and the root of the hadith in the collection of Imam Muslim, reported by Jabir, and that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to recite verses from the Quran. رؤيه that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to recite verses from the Quran as a reminder for the people. Hadith number 375. وعن طارق ابن شهاب رضي الله تعالى عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال الجمعة حق واجب على كل مسلم في جماعة إلا على أربع: مملوك وامرأة وصبي ومريض. رواه أبو داود وقال لم يسمع طارق من النبي. وأخرجه الحاكم في رواية طارق المذكور من أبي موسى. هنقول عليه إيه ده يا شيخ؟ لا إله إلا الله، ما مطلعينه صحيح، احنا هنعمل إيه بس؟ ها؟ يعني هم الناس عايزة كلمة واحدة نقول لهم ايه. The hadith reported from Tariq ibn Shihab, and the meaning of the hadith is صحيح that Jum'ah is fard, is a must, is obligatory, compulsory on every Muslim in the Jama'ah with the congregation, with exception of those four: slave, or a woman, or a child didn't reach the age of puberty, and the sick person. The Allah knows best. So it's the people who are exempt. We understand also that Musafir is exempt. The traveler also is exempt from this. And inshallah, if I can exercise my personal understanding, that this will apply also to those people who are prisoners in jails, okay? Because their condition almost like Mamluk, that they have no authority, they have no control over their affairs, okay? If they allow them Jum'ah, they want to make Jum'ah, alhamdulillah, but it's not obligatory on them. And this is my personal understanding, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. I can be wrong, because I know of some of the brothers in the prison, if they hear this, they are not going to like it. But this is, as I said, my personal understanding. I can be right, and also I can be wrong, okay, with a big W. WD. Hadith number 376. Oh, alhamdulillah. Oh, but this. وعن ابن عمر رضي الله تعالى عنهما قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ليس على مسافر جمعة. رواه الطبراني بإسناد ضعيف وهو صحيح إن شاء الله. Ibn Umar, may Allah be pleased with him, said was the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, no Jum'ah on the traveler. Okay? That means he is also exempt. Next hadith 377 in page 166 عن عبد الله بن مسعود رضي الله تعالى عنه قال كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا استوى على المنبر استقبلناه بوجوهنا رواه الترمذي بإسناد ضعيف وله شاهد من حديث البراء عند ابن خزيمة. And the hadith been classified to be authentic, inshallah. That Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he used to stood up on the minbar, that the Sahaba, the discipline, the behavior of the Sahaba, they used to turn their faces to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We used to face him sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Last hadith in the chapter of Jum'ah, hadith number 378. وعن الحكم ابن حزن رضي الله تعالى عنه قال شهدنا الجمعة مع النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فقام متوكئا على عصا أو قوس رواه أبو داود. Okay. الحكم ابن حزن رضي الله may Allah be pleased with him, from the hadith which in the collection of Imam Abu Dawood, and the hadith is Hassan, is good inshallah, that he said we attend Jum'ah with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He stood up leaning, okay, on a bow, an arrow or a staff or a stick, okay? And my personal understanding about this hadith, because some people, as I said, in different countries, the imam, there is two swords in front of him in the minbar, and when he climb, he takes the sword in one hand and the stick in the other hand, things like this. This can be, and Allah knows best, that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was leaning on it for some kind of health reason or difficulty or something like this. Is not that part of the practice or part of the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And inshallah, since Brother Ghassan is here, we will ask him to come to give us a general view about what he heard tonight. He was almost like halfway listening. But basically what we would like for him to give us explanation about hadith number 358, which is hadith ابن عمر رضي الله تعالى عنهما قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من أدرك ركعة من صلاة الجمعة وغيرها فليضف إليها أخرى وقد تمت صلاة. And basically what we want him to clarify to us about how the hadith can be the meaning is right and the narration is wrong, or the isnad is wrong, how some people make it sahih while Sheikh al-Albani sahah al-Sheikh al-Albani, but i'tibar al-Hakim and all the things that my English is not good enough to. So inshallah, and if you have any other, لو سمحت تعلم من ناحية عشان الإسلام. And if any other notice that you would like to add or correction, we appreciate it, inshallah. Jazakallah khairan.
Inshallah, first, inshallah, bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Let me clarify about the hour in Salat al-Jum'ah. Okay, do not get confused by the so many opinions about what time is the hour. Okay, first, it's an hour as in the Arabic calendar, and the Arabic calendar hour is 60 minutes too. So when Rasulullah s.a.w. said the comes the first hour or there is an hour, it is the literal hour. Second, the hadith, the authentic hadith, Rasulullah s.a.w. made it very clear that it is the hour before the sun set. And when Rasulullah s.a.w. said while he was praying, another one of the companions asked the other companion, how we are going to be praying after Salat al-Asr? There is no optional prayer. Okay? And he said, didn't hear that Rasulullah sallallahu, didn't hear what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. He said, what did he say? He said, the man is considered praying as long as he is waiting for the prayer. So the authentic hadith, the authentic narration that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it's the hour before the sunset, you will be in the masjid supplicating, waiting for Salat al-Maghrib, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inshallah will grant you your dua inshallah. Second, about the shav, I do not see any of my students here, but shav, it means in the literal meaning it's odd. Okay, basically what we know of the shav, the ulama says, and يخالف الثقة من هو أوثق منه. Let me explain it. We have a scholar, for example Imam al-Zuhari. He is one of the great scholars. And Imam al-Zuhari has so many students. Okay? Imam al-Zuhari rahmatullah alayhi has many students. Okay? Let's give, he has 15 students. And 15 students of Imam al-Zuhari who always with him, all the time with him, he would say, they will say that we heard him saying the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ate an apple in such and such occasion. And one of the other students, he is trustworthy, but he is one, he is not as good as any of his elite students, nor he attend the classes of Imam Zuhari as much as they do, and he would say that he ate an orange. Okay? He is trustworthy, but the many numbers of the students and or the more trustworthy, they said he ate an apple. So this student, when he says he ate an orange, we call it what? Shav. That means he made a mistake. He's been an odd. He's been what? Diverted from the group and mentioned something the group did not mention. That means shav, when there is contradiction, not an addition, but basically we have so many people narrating one thing, they are more trustworthy, their memory is much better, they attended the classes and studied under the very sheikh more than the one who is contradicting them by stating something different, which took place in the same place where the other students were there. This is shad. Basically, that's it. But basically, it's odd. Why there is disagreement? Because if you look at the chain of narration, okay, A from B from C from D to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If you look at one narration, you think the hadith is authentic or the isnad is authentic. The chain of narrator is authentic. But we know that the text of hadith could have more than one chain of narrators. Sometimes have 10, 15, 12, 100, 200 based on the many of narrators who narrated this hadith from the companion or companions. Okay, so when you look at one chain, you think it is authentic. But when you compare all the chains which are leading to the same text, to the same matn, now you know that this individual made an error, because his narration of the same incident at the same time, same thing has been said, is different, is opposite to what they said. Hopefully it's clear, but if it is not, inshallah, Rabbi Alameen, a different occasion, we'll explain it, inshallah. Is this all?
I have a comment about what you said, that the hour in the Arab is 60 minutes. And the hadith shows that the hour is not the hour because yuqadiluha, so the hour does not have to be 60 minutes.
Okay.
Can you confirm this or you can...
Okay. This yuqalilha does not mean that he will increase or decrease on the hour. But I want to specify something, that the 12 hours day, the 12 hours night, the 24 hours, okay, the dividing of the day and night, 24 hours, it has been known at the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, even though the starting hour is different, okay? As-sa'a al-ghurubiyya is different, but at the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, they used to have 24 hours for the, what we call it, a full day, day and night. This is the point that I want to make. The other details, inshallah, Rabbi, I will discuss them somewhere.
The hour is the time of Rasulullah, 60 minutes?
If 60 minutes by our time now, but used to be 24 hours the day, the whole day, so it could be 60 minutes if you
hour doesn't mean time.
Hour doesn't mean time, because hour, like for example, when we talk...
portion of time.
Hour could be a start, like the hour, the day of the as-sa'ah, which is Yawm al-Qiyamah, okay? But when we mention that, like for example, those who come the first hour to the Jum'ah, those who come the second hour, those who come to the third hour, this is a literal meaning of the hour which is used to be known at the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Someone would ask, do they have to come after Salat al-Fajr? No, because their time, their starting time of the day, or calculating these hours, was a little bit different than ours. Inshallah, Rabbi Alameen, I'll explain it in a different occasion, inshallah. Okay, inshallah.
Anybody have any
question? About this thing, the other questions, they go to the Sheikh, inshallah.
Any question concerning the subject for today?
A camel. The first hour is for a camel. Correct. For the woman? Okay. Ouch. Okay. In general, women are discouraged from praying in the masjid. They are discouraged even from praying in the masjid of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to say to the woman that the woman, if she prays in her house, it's more in reward than praying in my masjid. Which we know that if you pray in the masjid of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, one prayer is equal to what? 1,000 prayers. And if you pray in Mecca, it is 100,000 prayers. And if you pray in Jerusalem Mosque, in Al-Aqsa Mosque, it is equal to 500. But the women in general are discouraged to pray in the mosque. They are allowed. Rasulullah said that do not prohibit your woman from coming to the mosque even at night if they seek the permission. Okay, لا تمنعوا إماء الله مساجد الله. And we know from the so many hadiths that the woman at the time of Rasulullah ﷺ, they used to attend the masjid for different purposes, but regardless, praying in her house is more rewarding than praying in Jum'ah. Now, the scholars, they say, if she comes to pray in the masjid, whether it's Jum'ah or whatsoever, she will get the same reward as the man did, but she will be sacrificing the great reward of praying in her house. But the reward in the masjid applies to anyone who attends, male or female. But the woman, she will be sacrificing the greater reward by coming to the masjid. Her praying in her house is much better than coming even to the masjid of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But if she comes, she'll get the same reward.
Answer to this question, because I didn't understand, what is the answer there? Will she get a camel or no?
She will get the camel, inshallah. But she will be losing much more if she stayed home. Yes. That's it?
Brothers, anybody have any?
Okay, subhanAllah.
Hello? You have any question? Alright, the class will be inshallah from now on, starting this week coming, after Salat al-Maghrib. So approximately we say 7:45. Excuse me? 7:45 inshallah. Alright, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.